All right, Ray, so check this out. We now have the destruction of all car dealers as we know it. Me as a used car dealer, I am shaking in my boots right now because Amazon just released this news that now this massive company is going to start taking over the used car space. So we have them teaming up with Hyundai, Kia to be able to start selling these used, certified, pre-owned cars. And you know what? Why would anyone ever buy a car from me ever again when they can just click a button on Amazon and be able to buy it?
Probably because I don't have to pay you a Prime membership fee in order to do it. why would anybody? Here's the better question: why would anybody buy a car through Amazon when they're not actually car dealers? And you know, so what is Amazon doing? They're teaming up. And they have been teamed up with Hyundai for about a year and a half now, selling new Hyundais that the Hyundai dealers that are participating in the program get the list on Amazon's website. And so the same will hold true for these pre-owned cars and these certified pre-owned cars. It is just like Amazon has become a third-party lead source for Hyundai's dealers that participate. It's not Amazon's not backing the car. Amazon's not actually selling the car. They are assisting the dealers that are participating in the sale of those cars. Almost kind of sort of like what Car Edge does to a degree.
All right, well, we heard it here first. Death of Car Edge, not death of car dealers. That's what it is. Well, so here's the thing. Let's go back about a year and a half that we had this big announcement. I remember making a video about it. You guys made some videos about it. This was all the buzz for about 2 or 3 weeks here in the car market that, okay, Amazon is getting into car sales now. And this is when they were moving the new vehicles.
Yes.
Ever since I made that video and ever since we talked about that for that 2 or 3 week span, I don't think I've heard one thing about this this ordeal where Amazon was actually selling these cars with Hyundai and Kia dealers. And here's the thing you got to think about. So Amazon can do this as much as they want, specifically with new cars. But at the end of the day, they can't actually sell new cars to these consumers because they still have to go through dealers. The way that everything's set up in this country, through the states, through legislation that we have, dealers have to be the ones that you have to transact with to be able to buy new vehicles if the manufacturer has any dealers set up. Now, Tesla is a different story because they don't have a dealer network actually set up. They sell direct to consumer. But when you go to a Kia, a Hyundai, a Ford, a Toyota, then on the new side of things, then you can't go direct to these manufacturers. So this is something that Amazon is really just what do you call it, like a glorified online broker or something in that point?
Yeah, that's exactly what they are. It is I look at them more as a lead generator for Hyundai. That for the Hyundai dealers that participate, because not every Hyundai dealer is participating in the program. Because believe it or not, they have to pay Amazon for the privilege of having their inventory listed on Amazon's website as being available for purchase. So when you think about it, all Amazon is a facilitator. They are not the ones actually selling the vehicles. They're not the ones that have the warranty on the vehicle. They're not the ones that are verifying the merchantability of the vehicle. They are just making these vehicles available to be seen on their website. And then you can decide once you've seen them whether or not you want to buy it. And if you want to buy it, you're actually buying it through the dealership and not Amazon.
So here's the thing. That's all on the new side. But used side is free game. If Amazon wants to start a dealership model and be able to sell vehicles, then they're actually able to do that. They're not doing that with this program. But but they are getting their foot in the door. And in my head, when I look at a company like Amazon, and then they can look out and see a company like Carvana and however they're making these magical numbers happen, it's translating into stock price skyrocketing, right? So, yes. So whatever Carvana is doing, they're doing with an online source, just like Amazon does with a lot of their merchandise. Well, I could see a world where Amazon is like, you know what? I want a piece of that pie. And this could be just the beginning of them getting into the use space, because it's a much easier space for these companies to get into. Legislation doesn't allow Amazon to be able to get into the new space. That's not going to happen. They might have even already been thinking about scrapping their new program with Hyundai and Kia, because that can't be working too much if we haven't heard much about it after the initial release or whatever. But this use thing could actually be a thing, could hurt companies like CarMax, like Carvana, and eventually this whole system where just a one click buying a used car could eventually hurt my business. So I could see Amazon just taking these steps to get towards that reality of what we're seeing right now.
Well, you know, the reality is that Carvana is seen as a disruptor in the used car space. That you don't necessarily have to have a brick and mortar store. You can service people nationally. You can ship cars to wherever you need to ship them. And so they're looked at as a disruptor, and they're a disruptor in the sense that at this point they own 1.5% of all used car sales in this country. Now, 1.5% doesn't sound like a lot when you say it as a percentage, but that 1.5% equated to 143,000 vehicles sold in the last quarter. So yeah, I would imagine a company such as Amazon could look at that and go, well, if we could get even 0.5 point, it still would be extremely profitable. And I can tell you, you know, every time CarEdge looks at things, we say to ourselves, well, it's like there's 50 million vehicles that are going to get transacted this year between new and used vehicles. We just want a small portion of that. And that's what Amazon would look like and look at. But is that where Amazon wants to spend the money, or do they want to spend the money on that new electric pickup truck from Slate that Jeff Bezos, the head of Amazon, is allegedly behind? So who knows? Just as long as they don't want to become YouTubers.
Oh, I can tell you, being on car sales and being in the YouTube space, it's much harder to be on YouTube than it is to sell cars. Well, you know that too. Being a car salesman or being a car dealer, that's easy. Making titles and thumbnails, that's difficult.
It is, you know, yeah. And most of the titles and thumbnails that we seem to make seem to be the wrong titles and thumbnails. So, selling cars, as difficult as it is a lot easier than trying to be a YouTube personality. I will agree with that 100%.
Yeah, so where do you see the future? Do you feel like Amazon, because, I mean, getting into the actual used car space is very inventory intensive, and I know a lot of companies don't want to be in that thing. So if they can just peel money off putting, just being a lead generator, just putting a buyer with seller, that seems like a very high margin type of business. But in a real way, I mean, I feel like if they became a dealer themselves and they go the route of like what Carvana, they have the money to do it. Obviously, they could really move the space in a much different way.
But do they want to? I mean, exactly. That's the real question. I mean, you know, when Zach and I started with CarEdge, and we were approached by people who said, "Well, you should open up CarEdge dealerships." And the reality is that we don't want to own inventory. We don't want to make that investment. We want to help facilitate the sales, you know, through our services, but we don't necessarily want to own cars in order to do that. And so does Amazon really want to own billions of dollars worth of used cars to be in the used car industry the way Carvana and CarMax is? Or do they look at it and go, we could pick up a few extra hundreds of millions of dollars here as a lead facilitator and lead generator, plus charge the Hyundai dealers for every vehicle that they advertise on our website? I think, I could be wrong, but I don't think Amazon really wants to be in the car business in the sense of owning inventory. There's too many mistakes that one can make when you own inventory, and there's very few mistakes that you can make when you're just being a lead generator for dealers out there. You're collecting the money, you're sending them the lead, you're saying, up to you to sell them. We got them for you. Now you figure out how to sell them. And the whole concept between the way that Amazon's doing it is, well, we can help you with the sales aspect of it through digital marketing and digital selling and one button selling and all that. So I think if I was Amazon, I think the way they're approaching it makes the most sense. And there's very little capital expenditure in order to do what they're doing, as opposed to if you actually want to become a nationwide used car dealer, you gotta buy inventory, you gotta own inventory, and that's in this case billions of dollars.
Yeah, and I can tell you there's a ton of money in that, because we pay for my small car lot. I would guess our advertising budget is probably somewhere around like $3,000 a month.
Okay.
And of that's CarGurus, who's doing this exact same thing what you're saying, where car dealers can post their inventory, buyers can find their inventory. We pay them almost $2,000 a month alone. And they're our number one lead generation generating site. And it's going to be tough for any other company to really break into that market. I know, like, my cars are posted on CarEdge's search or whatever. I've literally found my car sitting there. And I've never had one lead from CarEdge. Since the time that I've known you guys to have a car search, like, Mike, I've been able to find my cars on your website, and we don't get that. So it's very tough for a company, even the size of like you guys, to even break into that space. Well, it's very, very difficult.
Well, and here's the difference. You don't pay CarEdge a dime to have your cars listed. And you know, CarGurus and the others, they charge you for the privilege of listing your cars, and then you can prioritize your listings by agreeing to pay even more. So it's counterintuitive to like what we try to do, where it's we just want to provide free listings. We don't charge the dealers. I mean, we've had dealers say to us, please take our cars off of your website. We don't want them there, you know, which I've never understood, because it doesn't cost them a dime. You would think you'd want as many eyes on your inventory as possible. And you'd want as many of those eyes to not cost you anything. But, you know, a lot of dealers are perfectly content to spend $2,000, $3,000, $4,000, $5,000, $6,000, $7,000 a month to advertise on CarGurus and Cars.com and Auto Trader and whoever else is out there. And in this case, the Hyundai dealers are doing it with Amazon. So, you know, yeah, obviously that's a big market.
Yeah, there's a lot of money there. I know that. Well, I mean, and dealers are going to pay for where their leads are coming from.
Yes.
And the difference between like a CarGurus and like you guys is that CarGurus is more suited, like it's more beneficial to dealers than it is to consumer, in my opinion. Also for you guys, I think you're more consumer leaning than you are to the dealership
Oh, absolutely.
Model. Yeah, yeah, which that's a great thing for the consumer. But I wonder where Amazon's going to fit in that kind of thing, where they're trying to make their money from. And obviously it's very tough to get some consumers to pay for anything before they're going to pay for actual something, right? So for just having your cars online, I feel like the better model for Amazon to pursue is more like a Car Gurus model, if they're going that broker route of putting consumer with actual dealer.
I just think that, I don't know that they're trying to necessarily go the broker route as much as I think they're just trying to utilize their platform as another means for dealers to be able to advertise their inventory. And in order to experiment, they are experimenting with one company, which is Hyundai. And either it is extremely successful, which it appears to you and me that it is not, because, you know, there was a tremendous amount of fanfare when they said they were going to do it. And as you said, you know, everybody spent 2 or 3 weeks talking about it, when in actuality, we shouldn't even have spent 2 or 3 minutes based on the results that they've gotten. So I think so far it's a failed experiment. I also think that Amazon's large enough that they can continue the experiment a little longer to see if it eventually takes. And if it does, then they become probably a better lead generator. And what I mean by better is that the people that they're getting to utilize the leads are readier to buy. They are more prepared to move forward with a transaction than a lot of the lead generators that are out there, which just gets dealerships a lot of crap in reality. So
yeah, and the thing about it is they will be able to maneuver a little bit more in the used car space because the laws aren't even close to as strict on dealers. If they want to get, they can even get their dealer's license in every state. I mean, Carvana easily went this route, and they were up and running very quickly. So this is something that Amazon could actually do and move very quickly if they want to go the inventory route. If they don't, then it's also they have outreach already. They already have a name, so they could easily put a tab on the top of their Amazon space that if you want to buy a car, do this. But eBay tried to do this.
And it didn't work.
Yeah.
Let me ask you a question. Do you think that the reason behind this experiment at Amazon could be to see if they would be able to utilize this platform to move slate pickup trucks, the inexpensive, cheap electric vehicle pickup trucks that Jeff Bezos is supposedly financially backing? So they're doing what they're doing with Hyundai to see if where they're at. And then if they get good at it, it's just, okay, let's drop Hyundai and we'll just going to represent. This is how you're going to be able to buy a slate pickup truck in the future. Will just be via Amazon. Do you think that could be their thinking?
I think that's definitely an easy platform. I don't think they're thinking that small. Amazon's not thinking just one brand. Like, they want to take over the whole market if they're trying to get into it. So I do think that they have the ability, if they wanted to and if it made sense for them, to go almost the exact model as Carvana. I think they could easily do that. They have the money. They already have the ecosystem built up. They already have the trust from their customers to be able to do this. And if you can make car buying easier, which Amazon could absolutely do, you're going to pay more for it, just like with Carvana, but they could absolutely do it. I don't think that they're going to think as small as just trying to move the trucks that they are going to prototype and then eventually take to market. But the thing about it is that could make these trucks explode too. If it's that easy, you can go on there. Okay. I want to buy a truck just like you do with Tesla. One click. Okay. Come pick it up at our center. You're ready to go.
I could almost see where if Slate happens that it just becomes a wholly owned subsidiary of Amazon. I could see something like that. The reason I honestly don't believe that Amazon would try to become the next Carvana, so to speak, is it's relatively easy to get the dealer's licenses in every state. What's not easy is acquiring the vehicles and being able to recondition the vehicles. That was an issue that Carvana initially had, is they didn't have enough reconditioning centers, which was the impetus behind buying ADESTA Auto Auctions so that they could centralize some of this reconditioning. So I'm not sure that Amazon would want to have to go through all that in order to be a big player in that aspect of the industry. I just think they're trying to get some learnings as to if they want to create, in my opinion, if they want to create their own brands of vehicles to sell. And this could be, in my way of thinking, a way for them to do that. But then again, yeah. You know, I always kind of think outside of the box.
Yeah, it would be interesting. And just, for those of you that don't know what we're talking about, this is what they're this is the Slate truck, yes, that they're wanting to release. That's a funny picture. But you can fully customize all these trucks. They're supposed to be cheaper, and you can add basically what you want. So everyone that's out there screaming for the decontented trucks, well, you can go in here and you can design exactly what you want and pay for exactly what you want. That looks awesome to me. I think that looks great. Now, I'm a child of the 90s, so all that square looking like Bronco and Blazers, fantastic. I love that look. That's an awesome looking
vehicle. You know what that reminds me of at first blush? The original Pathfinder.
Yeah, it like the front end of it kind of looks like the Toyota, like a Land Cruiser.
But, yes,
and the back of it looks like one of the older style, like Broncos or Blazers.
Mm-hmm.
So that's cool. That's what I want. I want one of those, and I want it to be. Well, I mean, is it gas or is it EV?
They're EVs, originally they were going to be advertised as under $20,000, but of course that was utilizing the federal tax credit for EVs that's going away September 30th. So that at this point they would be 27-ish thousand for a base one. But I you know, they have 100,000 plus reservations for them. Kind of sounds like the Ford Lightning. But it doesn't take much to get a reservation. It's $50. And it's refundable. So, you know, there's
they don't give you any price or anything on here. Yeah. You can just reserve it. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So, but I wouldn't be surprised if Jeff Bezos is the one who is truly backing that they're going to utilize the learnings of their partnerships with Hyundai to be able to, I think, project forward being the lead source, the number one place to be able to buy a Slate EV, and you would buy it through Amazon.
I mean, this thing's bad. Like, I'm gonna put my reservation in today. That's a great looking truck right there.
I think you should. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah. Yeah. And maybe I'll get it. Maybe I'll get it before my son is in college.
Maybe it could end up being his first vehicle by the time you do get it.
Yeah, that's only 10. That's only 10 years from now. So we can go ahead and put our reservation for him, for his and mine.
Yeah.
All right. So I want to ask you this, because my producer and I, we were talking about this the other day, as far as the future of where cars could actually go and use cars. I could see a scenario like in 10, 15 years from now that no one is even buying cars anymore. It's just a bunch of rideshare stuff. And I know there's a bunch of heat around like robo-taxi and stuff like that. I don't think that's necessarily the route I'm thinking. I think there will be a lot of that. out and around in 10, 15 years. But I think that there's going to be so many people that just don't want to own a car because they just cost so freaking much that somewhere like Uber or Lyft, maybe they offer like a package for $300 to $500 a month where you just get unlimited rides. And the only people that are owning vehicles are a lot of these corporations or individuals that actually want to be in the business of just transporting other people.
Or the wealthy, you know, so it'll become plainly obvious as to who has and who doesn't, you know, because the wealthy will always flaunt the fact that, well, they're wealthy and they can afford to buy the car that you can't. I mean, obviously there's a future for rideshare, and obviously, you know, there are those out there who strongly believe that there's a future for robo taxis and stuff. And you know, there many years ago, there were people out there who thought there was a big future for, well, you could rent a car when you need one. And the only question I would ask is how many times has Hertz, the world's largest rental car company, declared bankruptcy over their history? It's happened more than once. So it's, you know, who's going to become the Hertz of robo taxis? Is it going to be Tesla? Is Tesla just going to be the supplier of the robo taxis? Will, you know, what giant corporation will be the one that owns the fleet of robo taxis? You know, I guess all those people that used to drive can learn how to become mechanics and work for these giant corporations and make sure that these robo taxis are maintained and cleaned and ready to be utilized by whoever hails it next.
So we did have a question about something that we were talking about earlier. I like to get you. I was interested to hear your take on that, just because we went down a rabbit hole yesterday when we were talking. But this is a different topic. How did the collaboration for Nicer Vehicles go? I just remember that was a thing. So this was something that myself and Courage, we tried to make work where I sell cars that are $5,000 and under. That's what I do. But we had the idea of, okay, maybe I could buy some 2 and 3 year old used vehicles, nice vehicles, still under warranty. I handpick them out.
Yes.
And then we sell them on CarEdge, very transparently, where you can see exactly what I paid for the car and exactly what we're selling the car for. And in that way, we were still coming in under what you would pay for these vehicles. Like one was a 2023 Toyota Camry. There was a 2023 Honda Civic or Accord. I can't remember which one it was. And then we had two other Hondas.
Yes.
They would be cheaper than what you get from other dealers, and you would know exactly what you're paying for, how much you're paying for, and no fees.
Yes.
And why didn't that work? So the reason why it didn't work is because we didn't have any financing. And me and my little world here, I was just under the assumption that there were people out there that would pay cash for cars and pay cash for these vehicles and be able to get a better deal and be able to be transparent about what they're actually buying. And in my little head, it just didn't work out, because people are, from like Ray says, everyone is a payment buyer. And that's one of the difficulties that we could not get over. We had deposits on cars. And then they try to go to the bank to get the money for it, and they couldn't get it.
Yes, what we discovered, and you know, I think what realistically
what me and Zach discovered. You already knew this, but me and Zach discovered.
What you and Zach discovered is, yes, you can be transparent. The problem is that the vast majority of the people out there don't have the cash to just fork it over and buy the car, and they need to have some type of financing. And if you don't have the ability to help them obtain that financing, then you don't really have the ability to sell them a car. And that's what you and Zach found out, which is why new car dealerships and many used car dealerships have the ability to arrange financing for their customers, because that's what allows the transaction to be completed and to move forward. You work out of the assumption that you're just going to sell cars for cash, and for the most part, the vehicles you sell are $5,000 and less. So when you start selling cars that are in the 20s of thousands of dollars, that requires the ability to be able to help the people get financing. And it would have worked had we had the ability to arrange the financing for the people, because the entire transaction would have been completely transparent from what you paid for it, what you paid to recondition it, what our markup was going to be. Everything was above board and easy for people to see. And I think that would work if we had the ability to get them financed.
Yeah, but with me, I don't like debt, and I wouldn't feel comfortable with that. So it'll never work, and we'll just sit here and make more videos on YouTube to try to make money, and that's what we do. All right, 30 minutes, we're done. Thank you, guys. Subscribe, like, comment, do all the things. Ray, thank you. This has been so much fun this week, and I have like 5 other questions for you. We'll talk about them next week.
Well, you know what? The God will and the creek don't rise. I'll be back next week as well.
Yeah. All right. I'll see you guys next week.
Yep. Thank you, everybody. Thank you, Brandon.